Thank you, choir. That was quite a beautiful, encouraging anthem this morning. Beautiful. So this morning's reading is a little lengthy, so settle in. We have a nice dramatic reading today with fortune-telling slave girls. We have evangelism, earthquakes, and very well-behaved prisoners. This reading is from Acts 16. Verses 16 through 34, and it's on page 136 if you'd like to follow along in the Bibles in your pew, or you can read along on the screen. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. And may the Lord add his blessing to this reading.
Indeed, as Holly set the stage for you, that is quite a story, probably written by someone in Hollywood, don't you think? Who else could have packed in an exorcism, an exotic slave girl, a kangaroo court trial, a flogging in public, two men taken off to jail, locked up, key literally kind of thrown away, the jailer falling asleep, the earthquake, the singing of hymns in the middle of the night, multiple baptisms, and a party at the end. You get all of that in today's story, so what on earth are we going to do with it? So I'm going to talk about the three opportunities in this story for people to be set free. As a reminder that there are many ways that God comes to us in life, offering us this gift to be set free. The first person in our story who's given an opportunity to be set free is this slave girl who opens the drama for us. We know a little bit about her. We know that she is a very successful fortune teller. Today, when you ride by homes that have their signs out that the psychic lives here and can tell your fortune, or whenever you might see one out in public, as I did yesterday in Hollywood, a young lady with a table and a chair next to it, and she was reading tarot cards to tell your future. I didn't see any money on her table, so I don't know if she was as successful as the one in our story from the book of Acts. But they're everywhere and around us, making quite a good living, it seems, because that business still is there today. And we do know from the text that this storyteller, this fortune teller, is quite successful. She's also quite irritating, it seems. The setting for the story is the city of Philippi in Macedonia, northern Greece. Paul and Silas have moved into the city and are there doing quite a preaching campaign, it seems like, there for weeks on end. They're daily going to the synagogue, back and forth, passing the road where this fortune teller is doing her business. She's calling out to them every day, sort of stirring up the pot, and Paul finally gets agitated enough. Now, one day he simply turns and looks to her and says, "Demon, come out of her." And whatever spirits in there troubling her left her. But that spirit also left with the gift of fortune telling. She is of now no value to her masters who own her. The income stream will be dried up. But she seems to have been set free in some way. But unfortunately, she disappears from our story and never reappears. So we don't really know if she did anything with this gift that was given to her that day of being set free. Then as the story progresses, we move into the next act of the drama. And that's where the owners of the slave girl enter the scene, and that by now you can imagine how perturbed they are. As I just mentioned, they have lost their income stream. The investment that they had made in this woman is gone to them now. And you see, all they can focus on is their greed. That's what shackles them. And that's where they need freedom from their greed. And they have an opportunity to be set free, and it's clear in the story that they do not take that opportunity. They simply respond as I think most people would, and they simply do away with the troublemakers, Paul and Silas, and have them put into jail. And they disappear from the story. And then we move into Act 3, which is really the final act of the drama. We're now in the jail. And the jailer is there doing his job. He was instructed to lock them up good and tight. He took them into the dark part of the cell, way in the back, put stocks around their feet, chains on them. There's no way they're going anywhere. Clearly, the story makes that point. And yet, somewhere about midnight, Paul and Silas erupt into prayer and song. Can you imagine being a prisoner in the cell that night? You're probably thinking, who are these town drunks that they've brought in the middle of the night? And all of a sudden, they start coming out and they're wild, singing and praying. That obviously got God's attention. An earthquake came. Disturbed the whole town, I would imagine. But it set free all of those who were enslaved in jail. Gave Paul and Silas an opportunity to run, but they did not. They simply sat there where they had once been chained. And they saw the jailer come in who was about to take his life because he knew when his authorities heard word that he was the one behind this great prison break, they would probably take his life. And he thought, I might as well do it myself. Paul yells out for him to stop. The jailer falls down on the ground and asks, "How can I be saved? How can I be set free?" Paul and Silas take that opportunity to do what you did this morning in sharing your faith. Just simply telling the stories of Jesus and what Jesus can do for him. And that jailer turned his life around in those early morning hours before the light came up. Gave his life to Jesus. Asked to be baptized, not only for him to be baptized, but the whole kit and caboodle, anybody under his roof, to be baptized as well. You see, he was the one in the story who could receive the gift that God was trying to give. He was willing to be set free. All three of those folks, the groups of folks, were enslaved or chained up somehow. The slave girl to the masters who own her, the masters to their greed, the jailer to his job and life. All of them had an opportunity in this story when encountered by Paul and Silas to be set free, but we know for sure that the jailer was. Where have there been opportunities in your life that you've been shackled up to something that kept you from fully living? God came to you with an opportunity to be set free, and perhaps you just ignored it. Or were you in such a state, such a place in your life where you wanted something more, and you were willing to hear the words of freedom? You were willing to embrace Jesus in your heart and life and be set free. Here are some questions to think about. What is the good news of this story for those who are shackled? Each one of us has been shackled somewhere to our own form of chains or demons. What are yours? Is it doubt or fear or even anxiety that this good news might just be too good to be believed? Does it take the form of some addiction that you have that just will not let you go because of the powerful hold that it has over your life? Is it that inability you have to forgive yourself or to forgive someone else and find the freedom that grace brings to set you free? What holds you trapped? Is it a dependence upon your bank account that you have used to be your foundation for security and life? Instead of trusting in the promises of God for a future? Or could it be self-pride? Or a controlling spirit that prevents you from holding on and maintaining meaningful relationships with others? Or what holds you back? Is it some emotional or physical burden that seems to have taken control of your life instead of surrendering your whole self to God? I imagine that each one of us has our own vision and version of what keeps us captive. But the jailer asked the question we need to ask: what must I do to be set free? Isn't that what we want? To be set free. Some of you know and cherish the writings of Anne Lamott. She tells a wonderful little story about her conversion experience, if you will. And the image she uses is this. She said, "For me, Jesus was like a stray cat. He just kept appearing, nibbling at my heels. wouldn't let me go. And if I knew, if I opened that door just an inch and let that stray cat in to get a little milk, I was done for. And so she was. She opened the door of her heart, just that little crack was all it took. And Jesus came flooding in like a stray cat. And she was set free. And what a gift she's given us in her writing of sharing that journey of what for her was her freedom day. Where do you need to be set free? How can you find that freedom in your life? Think of this story and the opportunities that came in the wisdom of the jailer, who finally saw the gift in front of his eyes and seized it and found the joy of being free. And I hope for each one of us that we can find that same joy. Amen.